this is, we'll just call it Friend A Part 2. Amen? Amen. And we're going to be looking at some lessons over the next little while about our being, who we are, why we're here, what is a person, what are we here for, what makes up a human being, what makes us special, what makes us different. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning, first of all, to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to be looking at several, again, as we normally do, looking at lots of scripture. Genesis chapter 1. We got to look at some questions this morning, and these two questions we're going to look at are these: how did I get here? And Sabrina, she's going, I know how I got here. The Dagus has drove me here. That's not what we're talking about, though. How did you get here? What on earth? And what are we? What is a human being? Well, we can say we're about 6 or 7 pounds or whatever it is of chemicals and water, and we're a bunch of different things. And the next question is, what am I doing here? You're all asking yourself that same question. Yeah, it's early. What am I doing here? I should be home in bed sleeping still. Okay, no, Kyle. No, you can get up one day before 9 o'clock. But anyways, we've got a lot of questions that we can ask when it comes to this sort of thing. And again, that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. When we think about origins, have a look there at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. And what word there is repeated 3 different times? Created. The Bible says there that, again, in verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. And I'm going to emphasize that this morning, male and female. 2. Amen. And the Bible goes on to say there he created them. So let me ask you this question. Did Adam and Eve evolve from lower forms of life? Were Adam and Eve created by an all-powerful creator? Yes, he was. Were Adam and Eve brought here in a spaceship from another planet? Planet X. They didn't want them anymore, so they... Now, listen, you're laughing at that, going, that's crazy. But the more all these scientists are now starting to realize that evolution is it's preposterous. It doesn't scientifically work out. So a lot of scientists are finally starting to say, well, you know what? This evolution stuff doesn't work. It's wrong. It can't be possible. But instead of saying, maybe we were created. After all, a lot of scientists are believing that, by the way. They may not believe in the God of the Bible, but they're starting to believe that there is a creator. We were definitely designed. They call it creative design. But there are a lot of supposedly intelligent people that think that all life got here because somebody brought it here on a spaceship. This is a hypothesis that people are starting to buy into, you know. That, well, yeah, we know where we came from. We were brought here. And there's some more of them in Area 28 or whatever, 57, I don't know what it is, down there. They're all going to storm it because they figured there were aliens that the government had kept hostage there. And, you know, when we think about other planets, first of all, I want to ask this question. Does that solve our problem by saying we came from other planets? Does that still solve the problem of where we came from? No, because where did life start on that planet? And, you know, it's a scientific fact. Don't believe everything you hear. It is a scientific fact that life cannot come from non-life. Life cannot spontaneously happen from nothing. And scientists know that. They know it. They've tried experiments. They've tried everything to try to prove, you know, or show that, you know, we can have a spontaneous generation of life from non-living matter. And it just, it can't happen. It's just not going to happen. And I again, I like to use the illustration of dead things on the side of the road. You know what? You're not going to bring life to those things. There was a raccoon that was hit on the road, just kind of down more in front of the neighbor's house, and it sat there, and I think it's still there. It's just getting thinner and thinner and thinner all the time. And that thing got to the point where it was stinking so bad that we could smell it in our yard when the wind was blowing in the right direction. And you know what? You're not going to bring that thing back to life. Even 5 minutes after it died, you can't give something life. You can't do it. Life is it's a miracle, and I can't emphasize that enough. Life just can't happen. So we know that they weren't delivered here in a spaceship from another planet. We know that Adam and Eve, they were real people. A lot of people say, well, that was just a legend or a myth. I remember one guy, Pentecostal guy at work. I was witnessing to a guy, and this Pentecostal guy kind of got in on the conversation. And this guy that I was witnessing to said, "Do you really believe in that? You know, like Adam and Eve are real people, and that's a real story?" And I said, "Yes, I believe that." And he said, "Wow." He said, "I thought that was like, you know, ancient, archaic kind of thinking." And this Pentecostal guy said to me, "Well, my pastor just said, you know, when he was preaching the other day, that there were many Adams and there were many Eves, and there wasn't really one Adam and Eve, but there were many, and God put them all over the world." And I was looking at this guy going, boy, he's got some strange version of the Bible, I guess, that I don't know about. But there were one Adam, amen, and there was one Eve, and we can believe the Bible, amen. We can believe it when we read it, that God created all things from nothing. He created us. And you know what? When we think about this is important. Has anybody ever done family trees? Genealogy, you've done a little bit. Anyone else? Yeah, just trace your heritage back a little bit. I did, and I stopped about two generations back. Those Scottish people are just crazy, so I just kind of ended it right there. But you know, if we trace our genealogy all the way back, guess what? We're all related. Because who can we trace our heritage, our genealogy back to? All of us. Adam. And then, if we take it a little bit further in time, we can all trace it back to Noah. We're all related to Noah. And, oh, great, 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 great grandfather Noah, you know, he built an ark. And we're all related. Every human being has a common ancestor. And when we think about creation, there are three methods that God used to bring people to this world. Two of them are uncommon, and one of them is common. The first method that God used to bring people into the world was creation. And that doesn't happen every day. God created, the Bible says that God created Adam out of the dust. Now, if somebody came to you and said, "Well, I wasn't born, I was created out of the dust," you would think, you've been into something you ought not to be into. You know, we're all, everyone here, put up your hand if I'm wrong, we were all born. Amen? To a mother and father. Yes, we were. There's no aliens here or anyone else. So God took dust, he created Adam, and then he created Eve out of Adam's rib. And I was like a little boy, he had a pain in his chest one day, he came to his mom, "Mom, I think I'm going to have a wife. You know, I don't know what's going on." And so these don't happen every day, okay? And so these are, but this is the way we got here. And so these are that's an uncommon method. Now, the common method, again, is what we call procreation. And we find that in Genesis chapter 5, verses 3 to 32, where God told us to be fruitful and multiply. Adam left his mother, well, didn't have a mother and father, but he was told that man will leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh, and they were to be fruitful and multiply, to reproduce. And that's how we're all here. We're all here because of a mother and a father. We're here because of this common method of the population of the world, if you will. And there was one other method of an individual who is brought into this world by an uncommon or a unique method. And would anybody venture a guess who that might be? Jesus Christ. He had no father, earthly father. He had a heavenly father. And he was born miraculously, supernaturally. And the Bible says that Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost. And again, we understand that this is unique. And the interesting thing about this is when we think about Jesus Christ, he did not have a sinful nature. Now, if we follow in the Bible, when we think about going back to the creation story again, who was the first one to take a bite of that apple? Or whatever it was, a mango, I think it was a mango, but or a good ripe pineapple, but they don't grow on trees. So it was Eve, but according to the Bible, who was responsible? Adam. Adam was responsible. So the Bible teaches us that the sin comes from the man. We pass on that sinful nature, and it goes to the next generation. When we'll see that in a minute. We're either in Christ or in Adam. So when we think about Jesus Christ not having an earthly biological father, he did not have that sinful nature. And again, I know a question was asked a little while ago, could Jesus have sinned, if he had that sinful nature? And I was like, well, wait a minute, we got to just kind of get to the root here. I don't think he did have a sinful nature. He was never, now this is where I think some people get confused. He was never tempted to sin. Well, you'll say, well, the Bible says that he was in all points tempted as we were, yet without sin. Well, there's passive sin, there's passive temptation, and there's active temptation. Now, I could walk out of here, go out in the parking lot, and someone could pull in here with a brand new Porsche and say to me, I will give you this Porsche. I don't know how much they're worth today, but gaudy. Millions of dollars. How much is that Bugatti worth? Yeah. $9 million. Some guy came in here, I walk out here, or you walk out here, and this guy's got a $9 million Bugatti Veyron, does 1,000,000 miles an hour. You want to get your money's worth, right? $1 per mile an hour, so it does 9 million miles. I don't know how fast it goes, but it's fast. And he said, listen, I'm going to give you this, but it means that you can never go to church again. You can have this if you never go to church again. Or you never read your Bible again. Or you denounce your faith in Jesus Christ. So you would say, well, is that temptation? Yeah, it's temptation. You're being passively tempted. But am I tempted? Or would you be actively in your heart tempted? So Jesus Christ was passively tempted. The devil came and tempted him, put temptation in front of you. Front of Jesus Christ, but there was no temptation in his heart to ever disobey God. There was no struggle. You know, the temptation was put in front of him, but he had no temptation to do wrong. It's like when, you know, mom was making those nice, beautiful chocolate chip cookies, you know, and the temptation to go and Diane one time, I love Rice Krispie Squares, and she made this big thing of Rice Krispie Squares, and I was working night shift, so we were back before the days of cell phones and all that, so she hadn't said anything to me about these Rice Krispie Squares. I thought they might have been for her work, but I was tempted, and I couldn't take it. I ate half of that thing of Rice Krispie Squares, and I'm going, man, I hope they're not for her work. She didn't make them to bring into work. So I thought, well, if she's going to be mad at me, at least we can make a joke about it, or at least I can try. So I took Rice Krispies and poured them into the empty half of the dish, and I leveled it all off and put it back in the fridge. So she gets it out, and she looks and goes, theirs are all loose. And she said, what happened? I said, could you imagine that? All of the marshmallow went to one side of the tray. I didn't touch them, honestly. It just, the marshmallow all just went to one side. But, you know, that you're tempted. You know, you see the Rice Krispie squares and you're just, oh, man, I got to have them. Jesus never, ever had temptation in his heart to do sin. So when you read where he was tempted, it means he was passively tempted, which means Christ or the devil or wherever it was put out in front of him. Sin was there, tempting him. But he was never tempted in his heart to do wrong. So we understand those things. Jesus Christ, of course, we know is the creator of all things. Human beings, we were created a little, the Bible says we were created a little lower than the angels. Keep your place in Genesis 1 there. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. And I'll get somebody to read verse 5 of Psalms chapter 8. Okay, so they're talking about making him a human being. Man is a little, if you will, a little lower than the angels. Angels are more intelligent than we are. Angels, now, when we stop and think about this, we find many instances where angels went from the throne of God to earth in a moment of time. Now, we don't know where the throne of God is. We don't know where the third heaven is. But unquestionably, it's probably millions of light years away. Now, you're saying, well, what is a light year? Well, at 186,000 miles per second, it would take you a million years to get there. Now, that Bugatti Veyron, whatever it's called, that Bugatti thing, probably doesn't go 186,000 miles every second. I don't think anything does other than light. That's pretty fast. It would take you millions of years to get there. But an angel can get there like that. Angels don't seem to age. There's nowhere in the Bible where we find any indication that angels age. So angels were created, if you will, they're intellectually and in many ways superior. They have more power than man. So we find that man was created lower than the angels, but we were created higher than animals. The Bible makes a clear distinction between the creation of animals and the creation of man. And again, the false teaching of evolution teaches us that man is no different than an animal. We are just a higher form of an animal. You go to Toronto, and there's a lot of people that, to me, are pretty low forms of animals. You see the way they're acting. And, you know, we know that man is created differently. There's people, supposedly Bible-believing people, that say that we are no different than animals. Animal, we don't have a soul, just like animals don't have souls, and we're no different than them. Well, the Bible says man is not like the beasts that perish. We're not like the animals. Because we are going to live forever. Animals aren't going to live forever. And I know, I was witnessing one lady. I said, you know if you're going to heaven or not? I asked her. And she said, well, I don't know. But she said, I don't want to go there if my cats can't come. I said, well, I would be more concerned about you than your cats. Don't worry about your cats. I've heard people say that they don't want anything to do with heaven if their dog can't be there or their cat. No offense, or your horse or your gerbil. You know, the animals aren't going to live forever, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but animals aren't going to be in heaven. Now, when we get back to earth, when we come down in New Jerusalem and we're here on earth forever and ever, during the millennial reign, it appears that there are sacrifices, so maybe there'll be animals at that time. But animals don't have souls. They don't have a soul. And man has been given a soul. Man has been given a soul, and that soul will live forever, eternally, in one place or another. So we were created higher than animals, And so if we were to look at the supreme order of creation, there's angels, there's mankind, there's animals, and of course, we look at plants as well. And I want to mention this about angels. Some people think, well, you know what? Aren't we the crown of creation? You know what? We are. Man has a special place. When we talk about angels and maybe their superiority, it may not be when it comes to our relationship with God, because we were created, man was created, as we'll see in a minute, for fellowship with God. Angels were not created for fellowship. They were created for service. They were created to serve God. Yeah, we are, again, we're to serve God as well, but we were created for fellowship. And we have one distinction that angels don't have, and that is the fact that we were created in God's image. Jesus Christ didn't come to earth. The Bible doesn't say God so loved the angels that he gave his only begotten son, because there are fallen angels. He didn't come to save the angels. He came to save us. And so, not to diminish our relationship and our special place in amongst God's creation. And then the Bible talks about, again, multiplying. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, it says there that God created male and female. I remember, you know, when I was first saved over 20 years ago, there wasn't a problem with this. Male and female. Boy and girl. Everyone understood, right? When all my children were born, the doctor said it's a boy or it's a girl. And the Bible is very, very clear. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to go to medical school for 30 years to realize that there are two sexes in the world. There's male and female. Amen? You've got mallard male ducks, and you've got mallard female ducks, and you've got male deer, and you've got female deer, and you know, the male deer have the antlers, and, you know, everybody knows this is the way it is. Right? This is the way it is. And yet the world is, insanity is the norm, where people that are having what we call gender euphoria, you know, you want to call it a mental disease, you want to call it whatever you want, people that are confused, it's a problem. And so we've got to, again, understand that God, he has only created two sexes or two genders. And, you know, when we think about this, there's differences in the Bible. There's differences in the Bible between men and women, boys and girls. And God's divine order of creation gives men and women different places in the world as well. And again, the feminists don't like this. The world doesn't like this. But God, this is the way God has made it. And a man is not better than a woman, and a woman is not better than a man, but God has created us different. Amen? And by the way, I'm glad that God made us different. Amen? Somebody say amen, but I'm glad God has made us different. Yeah, it just wouldn't go very well, I don't think, if you stop and think about it, if God didn't make us different. And so we have a world today, and I've been preaching this for 20 years, and it seems to be coming true, you know, the more and more we go along, you know, for over 20 years, I've been saying, you know, 20 years ago I had preached that the world is trying to make one gender. That's what unisex means. Unisex means one sex. It doesn't mean, well, we'll take both sexes. It means one. The world is trying to destroy gender distinction. The world is trying to destroy not only differences in appearance, but differences in roles and differences in haircuts. And, you know, you can come in and get a boy's haircut. You can come in and get a girl's haircut. Now there's no such thing. You just get whatever haircut you want. And this one couple in Toronto, 8 years ago, I have the articles in my news in my files. This couple 8 years ago had a baby, and they determined that they were not going to tell anybody if it was a boy or a girl because they were going to let it decide as it grew older. So they were going to put it in dresses, and they were going to put it in this, and they were going to have it short hair, and they were going to and they were going to give it dolls, and they were going to give it trucks, and they were going to do this, and they were going to let it grow up and just decide what it was going to be. And again, Toronto newspapers, they were calling this insanity 8 years ago. Again, if you would like, I could give you those newspaper articles out of the Toronto newspapers. This was insanity. Now they want to lock you up if you don't believe that is normal. It's like, what is going on in our world? And, you know, you got to park at this for an awful long time, you know, because it's so confusing in the world. And God has made two different distinct genders or sexes, male and female. And the Bible says that a man is to leave his mother and father and to cleave unto his wife. Amen? And they too, they're going to multiply. And by the way, that's the only way it can work. A man and a woman. It's the only way we can multiply. And again, God didn't make mistakes, and God, you know, makes it very clear a lot of the things in the Bible about distinction. But we've accepted, the world is just accepting the unisex movement. It's accepting, you know, the removal of gender distinctions as well. You know, what is distinct anymore? What is a man? What is a woman? And I remember Hot Wheels, or Mattel, it was Mattel, was putting out computers aimed at children, and they had computers for boys, and they had computers for girls. Now, the computers for boys had Hot Wheels and flames, you know, and all of that stuff on it, flames. Amen, guys, that's some manly stuff. You got flames in your computer, you're all right, amen. And then the girls' computer, it was kind of like Barbies and flowers and all these different things. And there was such an uproar in the lesbian community in the States and the feminists, and they were so upset because they don't want anything being gender specific. So they forced Mattel to stop advertising those computers that way, and they just said a computer for children. They couldn't be gender specific. They said, so if you're a boy and you wanted the pink one with the flowers and the Barbie dolls on it, you could get that one. And if you were a girl, you could get the Hot Wheels one with the flames and stuff. Anyways, I could park on that for a while. God has made male and female. Amen. And let's be glad for what God has made us. Amen. Let's let the world, men be men, ladies be ladies, and let the world know, hey, I know what I am. I'm not confused about it. Quit you like men, the Bible says over and over again. Act like men. Be what God has made you. Man's purpose. Why are we here? There's a lot of interesting thought about this. Why do we get out of bed every morning? Because mom and dad make me, or my husband wakes me, or my wife makes me, or I got to, or I get fired from work. You know, why are we here? What's the purpose of your life? We know now God has created us. God has created us as individuals. Evolutionists believe that we're just an accident of nature, and that, you know, we can just go on and exist any way we want. The Bible teaches the opposite of evolution. And it teaches us that we were created with a purpose. And Lloyd, can I get you to look up Revelation 4:11? Kyle, could I get you to look up Colossians 1:16 and Timothy, Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7. And I'm gonna turn to a scripture as well. So Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Go ahead and read that. So, according to that scripture, why are we here? For God's pleasure. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Okay, so what were all things created for? For Him. They were created for Him, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7. Okay, and I'm going to read. Okay, so sorry, before I do read, what does that say we are created for? For His glory, for His glory. So we find we are created for His pleasure, for His glory, and for Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So according to that verse, what are we here for? To fear God and to obey Him. To live for God. That's why we're here. Man, the Bible also says, was made, we mentioned this in Genesis chapter 1, if you're still there, verses 26 and 27. And the Bible says there, and God said, let us make man in our, and what's that next word? Image. An image. Guy went into a Walmart. I was in the Walmart, and this person, I was at the back counter where the electronics was, and somebody came in with a roll of film and asked the lady if they still developed that, and the girl looked at it and said, what is that? She had no idea what it was. It's a roll of film. And if you know anything about my mom, it was a thing that my mom always forgot to put in the camera. She would take 100 pictures before she realized she didn't have film in the camera. But, you know, you think about those images, and you take a picture, and you see yourself, and you stop and think about it. It's an incredible thing when we can do that. And I remember when I was a kid, we got one of those Polaroids that you could sit there right before your eyes, and you could watch it go from nothing, and eventually it would fade in. And you would be able to see the picture within a few minutes, or a minute even, an instant camera, and you could get that image. The Bible says there that we were created in His own image. In the image of God created He Him, male and female created He them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so, again, verse 26, we're created in His image, after His likeness. And then we see it repeated there in verse 27. According to the Bible, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 18 and 21, Jesus asked the question, whose image was on the coin? Who knows? Who remembers? Caesar's. Caesar's image was on the coin. When you looked at the coin, whose face did you see? You're going, well, we know that already. Whose face did you see? Caesar's. It was because that was His image, so you saw His face. And when you look at a penny, whose image is on a penny? The queen. Whose image is on a nickel? What? A beaver. Quarter? Quarter? Yeah, there's a moose and a queen. And what about a loony? Never mind. There's a loon on there. Yeah, that's easy to figure out. When you look in the mirror every morning or you take a selfie, whose image do you see? A scary one sometimes, especially if it's in the morning, right? You see your, come on, whose image do you see? Yourself. You see your own image. Now, the Bible says that we were created in God's image after His likeness. So, according to that, when people look at us, who should they see? God. They should see God. we are to be a reflection. Adam was given the opportunity not only to know God, but also to show God. You know, sometimes, I shouldn't say sometimes, we are the only Bibles people are going to read. And again, our lives are so important. So he was to show God's truth, God's goodness, God's sinlessness, God's righteousness, God's holiness, God's love, God's faithfulness, and God's purity. And in Genesis chapter 3, a terrible change took place. Adam sinned, and he no longer reflected that image. And he, according to the Bible, Genesis chapter 5, let's look at that. He had sons and daughters. In verse 3 there of Genesis chapter 5, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his, look at this, in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. When you were to look at Seth, whose image was he in? His, Adam's. And when Seth had children, whose likeness did they bear? Seth's. And Adam as well. Are we, or should I say, were we all in Adam at one time? The Bible says, in Adam all die. We all, as they say, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. We're all, remember I said, related. We can all trace our lineage back to Adam. People, it's important that we believe in the creation story. Amen. I've said this Pentecostal guy that said this weird story about Adam, and I said, listen, if you destroy Adam and Eve, you destroy salvation. What? I said, yeah. We don't have Adam. We don't have sin, and we don't have, again, a lost person. We're in Adam. We can all trace our lineage back to him, and we can all trace our sinfulness back to him. It's part of the gospel that we're lost in Adam. Amen? That's part of the gospel. And without Adam, without the fact that we are all bearing his likeness, then we're not in need of a Savior. We don't need a Savior. So, the Bible says that in Genesis chapter 5 and 3, that children reflect their parents' image. And we can bring that all the way back to Seth. We can bring it all the way back to Adam. There is one way for a sinner to stop reflecting Adam, and he must be saved. That filthy mirror must be cleansed, and every person is either in Adam or they're in Christ. When a person gets saved, they're no longer a reflection of Adam anymore, but we become a reflection of Christ. And we are now reborn, we're born again, in the likeness of Jesus Christ. So, every Christian is a mirror, where people should look at us and see Christ. See Christ's truth and see his goodness and his sinlessness and his righteousness and his holiness and his love and his faithfulness and his purity, and all of these different things should be present, because we are now created again in the image of God, because it's stamped on our hearts. So you're here this morning, and you're either in Adam, you're either still in your sin, or you've been saved. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've been born again of the Spirit of God, and you've been stamped with his image. And if you're in that group, are you letting your light shine? Amen. Are you letting your light shine? You know, just the fact that you're in church today, people know, hey, listen, God is important to them. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, everyone, they're in church. They're faithful to their God, and you know, they're giving to their God, and they're loving their God, and the reflection of God's image can be seen. Every one of us has a choice here. And again, if you're unsaved, your choice is to accept Christ as your Savior. But if you're a Christian, you have a choice every day. You're a mirror. And you have a choice as to what you're going to reflect. Are they going to see that old nature? Is that what you're going to be a reflection of? Are you going to be still showing forth Adam? Or are you going to be the mirror that every day in your life, your purpose in your heart to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ? We have that choice. And I pray that each one of us every day would desire to just shine forth the glory of our Savior. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here today. And I do ask if there is someone without Christ, someone who's maybe still in Adam. We all struggle with sin. We all deal with the old nature, but Lord, we know that the Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So if there is somebody here that just knows that they are void of that Spirit, would they make that decision today to trust Jesus Christ? We thank you for this opportunity to be together. We ask you to bless your name to be exalted. We'll thank you in our Savior's name. Amen.